This podcast is brought to you by Refix, a natural and organic isotonic drink containing 78 sea minerals. It's available on Amazon UK now, and it's heading to the shelves of all major health food retailers and pharmacies soon. Oh, that is nice.
It is nice. It's really good, though, because when I was talking to the guys at Refix, it kind of marries very well with our brand, because not only is it replacing like your normal kind of sugary isotonic drinks with something that's all natural after training, but also for like things like hangovers.
Important,
like,
for our clients.
Yeah, super important for our clients.
Because a lot of them are hungover.
They love drinking and training.
The flavors are good. That one we've just had now, what is it?
That one was orange and they've got lemon. And then they're bringing out Extreme Hydration, which is mixed with coconut water as well as seawater, because they get the minerals that would normally be added in to a...
Floating around in the sea.
Exactly. They just pull it out of the sea. 78
of them.
It's filtered very, very well.
And it's the Spanish sea as well. So...
The cleanest.
Special sea. And also, they do things to help the planet. They do regular beach cleans. They help tidy up our oceans. It's just a great drink and great people. So we're happy to be partnering with them for this podcast.
Our lovely listeners can buy Refix with a little discount, can't they, George?
They can. It is BTL15. And you type that into the discount code on the Refix website and you get 15% off.
That is BTL15.
Refix. Seawater. Sea hydration. Extra slurps. Is that you drink all the time?
Super slurpy. Hey guys, before we get into this episode of Before Lights podcast, here at Before the Lights, we are super supportive of all our friends who are actors and their strike with the Screen Actors Guild. Therefore, we've held on to some of these episodes until the strikes are finished. So some of the stuff they say might be dated or it might have already come out, but we're super grateful for the time they've given us and it's still super interesting chat. So yeah, have a listen and enjoy.
Hey, I'm Dave Hasty.
I'm George Ashwell.
I'm Josh Betteridge.
And I'm Georgia Canavan. And we are Before the Lights.
We work with actors and teams behind the scenes in film, TV and sport to keep their mental and physical health ticking over on and off screen.
On this podcast, we talk to some of them about how they get the most out of their mind and body and everything in between.
So what's on the laptop? Is it questions?
Loads of pictures of you.
Is it?
Yeah, we're gonna go through all the pictures of you and say, how did you feel at this moment?
What's the earliest one you have?
7. They asked me how I got it. Can you imagine?
They won't give them to you. Do you know why? Because,
well, you say that, I've got them.
What happens is when you're making something and the production design is decorating
this.
The set, they ask for real photos.
Of course they do. Yeah.
And nobody ever gives them back. So my mother has like no photos of me anymore.
Oh, no.
All these other people have them.
Loads of real photos.
Like, for a fact, you don't have any photos.
She needs. I've gone around professionally and just ran. What I've done is actually got a really nice present for your mum. I've collated all these photos that are spread around the world.
So you got them all back.
What's the earliest photo that was taken from your mother?
God, such a strange sentence.
From what job? From what job? This is how we get a read on how young you are when you first went into the industry.
Please say that again.
Yeah.
Can I word it differently?
No, I think you word it exactly
what
the same.
What is the earliest photograph of you that was taken from your mother?
Taken from your mother sounds so sinister as
it
well.
It is, yeah. It sounds so dark. I'm like 6.
Well, oh, wow. Let's put some context. Which particular show?
It's a BBC drama called K that I did years ago. Steve McIntosh is the actor in it. I couldn't tell you much about it. I can't quite remember. It was just
you were
all
only
like,
6. So that's fair.
Yeah, I was 8. Eight. I was 6 in the photo.
Okay. Yeah.
You really just need to.
You're having a flashback need, as an 8-year-old.
We need to draw a timeline for Dave to work out.
I was 6 in the photo and I was 8.
Got it. Egg and
so you've been acting since you're 8. Was that your first show?
Yeah, it was like an improv thing. It was like a... I kind of played myself. And
That's pretty deep for an 8-year-old.
That is, yeah.
You know, method.
Yeah, but you can be method if it's just you.
I don't think an 8-year-old's capable of doing it any other way, are they?
No.
You just, that's what I do.
That's true. Yeah. That's some of the best acting I've done. Like, no shit.
Can we fight? Is this still out there? I really want to watch it.
Oh,
now.
It's still out there, yeah. I mean, it's a pretty dark drama.
Uh-huh.
And that was the first job I did. I don't know how I got it.
At this point, I'm going to introduce you formally.
Yeah, no one knows we're talking to you.
Yeah, we haven't said anything about who you are and what you do. Yeah, it's just phantom guest. It is Craig Roberts.
Welcome, Craig.
Thank you,
Craig,
for having me.
Welsh actor, director, writer.
Rapper.
Now a gym addict.
Absolutely.
Slash comes in when he has to.
Short, yeah.
When I want to eat loads of food.
Yeah. Yesterday said to me, oh, it's just, I really like beer.
I mean, so do I.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, so then I confess my love of biscuits and ice cream. So
you're in the right gym.
Yeah, that's true.
You're
in the right place.
I've been converted. It's right. I'm a gym head now.
Yeah, you are.
But I like it. How many people do you actually have come in that actually fully, apart from Jacob at the beginning, like that actually hate it?
Hate it. Mm. Yeah, that's true. Not many. Like people, I think people very quickly understand. Like if they've never been in a gym before, like you just got to coax them in slowly. We're not like drill sergeant, like making you nearly sick, even though you were nearly sick first time you came in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. You went very pale.
I had to have a cold shower. Well, I think I suffer from like thanophobia anyway. I think I'm dying all the time.
Yeah, you do.
So like the idea of as soon as my heart starts pumping up a little bit too much, I'm like, no, I'm out. I'm out, yeah. Absolutely. But then after, you never regret it, really.
Even if you do like a half-assed, like 50% session,
yeah,
you're still going to walk out going, all right, that's better than me sitting on my ass watching whatever film I would have watched.
It's just hard going to it. That's the hardest part. It's just actually going to it.
That's it.
What's your thoughts on Pilates?
I've never done Pilates. I actually don't even know what it is, if I'm totally honest. Is it just like stretching in the air? Is that what it is?
What do you guys, can you guys tell me what Pilates is?
Well, it's what you said, coupled with lying down. So stretching in the air and lying down.
It's super hard.
It's that machine, isn't it? Like the machine
you're having. It's a part of it, yeah.
Well, it's a method, basically. I'm not going to bore you.
It's a system of movements.
Yeah, put all these movements together and it's meant to stretch you, strengthen, kind of put everything back into place. So it's like yoga's more
you,
like...
You, 100% yeah. You. Yeah, well, George is back now. She's been away. So now she's back, you can go see her.
I do that, yeah.
Can you point your toes?
Can I what? Point
my toes? Are you good at that?
I thought you said, can you point to your toes? Yeah. Is that it?
Do you know which one's your toes are?
Point my toes like that? Like that?
Yeah.
That's Pilates.
You've done.
Level one.
You've and done that. It. Have you done Pilates? Pilates? Yeah, absolutely.
It's like your first swimming badge.
Yeah. Can you point your toes? The Frosties one. You remember that?
Yeah.
Was it Frosties? Yeah.
Forgot about that.
It's like not even length of the pool. It's just, can you do the width of the pool?
Yeah.
Love that.
I couldn't swim.
No, I was useless.
I still can't. I did a film where I had to jump into the pool and I had to wear like school uniform and I had a duffel coat on as well.
Was this submarine?
Yeah, it was submarine.
Love this.
And I was like walking along and I'm like very deadpan and then I just like plop myself into the deep end of the water and I sink down and then I look up and everyone's kind of applauding and it's all over but I can't get back up because like the duffel coat was like absorbed the water and I was just looking up like I'm going to die.
Yeah, can anyone else?
How long did it take for someone to jump in and save you?
They're pretty quickly.
We've worked through, was it Care, your first show?
Care was the first thing I
did. And then we made it to Submarine.
Oh, yeah, when was the next photo taken from your mother?
Yeah.
What's next in the line of work?
Tracy Beaker, a TV show, a kids' TV show.
What show? That is like, if you're a British kid.
I didn't really do that for long. I did it for like, I think one or two seasons. It kind of ended when I came in.
Nice.
It's as good as it'll get.
Ended on a high.
Yeah, obviously.
I don't remember doing much of it. Because
you were busy as a kid then, like really busy as a kid.
I was just not in school, which was great.
Yeah.
And I was...
What do they do with school as a child actor?
Yeah, you get tutored on set, pretty much.
Yeah.
I don't remember much of that. I just knew that I could buy, like, more computer games. That was the big thing about, like, doing that. But I did that, and then I did another kids' TV show, and then I kind of stopped acting for a while because I couldn't get work.
Yeah.
So I started rapping.
You genuinely did?
Yeah.
I thought you were joking when you said rapper.
No, I started rapping.
Go on, then. Get there. Where did your rap career get to? At what point did you tap out of that?
Where did it get? Not very far.
Were you like, I'm going to do this. This is what I want to do.
For sure, but like I was delusional. Like, not at any point was it like good. It was like I took all the clothes out of my wardrobe and I soundproofed my wardrobe in my bedroom. I was 15.
Wow.
And I was like shouting like I had the same problems as Eminem when I had a really good upbringing.
You'd been in two seasons of Tracy Beaker by
that point. Yeah, I had nothing to rap about. I was never really going to do it properly, but I loved rap so much that I started.
I guess it shows that you were sort of, you had an awareness and a bit of an interest in like technical side of making sound and capturing sound, which is obviously something that you've then...
Yeah.
Carried through.
Also writing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was more like writing these... Mm. I mean, I couldn't release any of them. I would be screwed, probably. Like I was 15 listening to Eminem, so they probably...
Have you ever listened back to them now, like, as an adult?
Or was
it too cringy?
No, I couldn't. I really
couldn't.
You
just burnt them, you're like,
I think
that.
They deleted, so they're gone.
Yeah.
They're gone.
They're definitely gone.
Have you got any of the notes, any of the...
No, I mean, I remember a lot of the lyrics. Do you? I do remember a lot of them. And my name was...
We're going to have to get you really drunk.
I know, this is what I was about to ask you. What was your... What was your name?
Deadpan Man.
Deadpan Man. Love that.
Yeah. DPM for short, because I thought it rhymed with BPM, which would be a really good in.
I think you've ever thought that. But
yeah.
No, it's just you just know your first line in any of your raps.
That's
start
right.
Did you always
BPM,
introduce
BPM?
Yourself as Deadpan Man in
like,
the song?
You know, it's always like, yo, it's... yo, fucking listen up. I got something to say.
And then have nothing to say.
Yeah.
Did you rap in a Welsh accent or an American one?
It was just like, it sounded like Lil Wayne mixed with like Eminem, mixed with like...
Tom Jones.
Like Tom Jones, yeah. It wasn't very Welsh. No. I love it. Honestly, it's giving me anxiety thinking about it.
Yes, yeah. We're
so good.
We can move on from that. Actually, have you ever rapped in Welsh? Can you speak Welsh?
I can't speak Welsh. I've rapped on a TV show, though. I went on to... There was a TV show with Tiny Temper, honestly. Tiny Temper and Nicole from the Pussycat Dolls.
Shirt singer.
Yeah. Her and...
Three musical icons.
Yeah.
And, they were there.
And DPM.
Yeah, they were like, would you go in there and rap? I don't know what I was doing. Oh, Kill Your Friends. It was Kill Your Friends with Nick.
Oh, shit. You did it then?
I'm in that with him, and it was a music film, so they were like, will you go in there and promote it? And I was like, sure. They're like, and will you rap? I was like, sure. But like, I didn't know I was rapping. And then I went on there and I rapped that. You know that Eminem song, Rap God, where he does
the... Yeah, the really fast bit.
Yeah, that bit. That bit.
You did it?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Nailed it?
I did nail it, yeah.
Nice.
It was good. It's the coolest I've ever felt.
Yeah. Was that how you ended up being a BTL client? You mentioned that you worked with Nicholas Hoult. Kill Your Friends. So you also did Skins, right? Is that...
I did Skins. I didn't do the reboot.
You did the reboot, right?
The good
one wasn't in the same batch. The good one.
Yeah, sorry anyone involved in the new one.
Well, it was all of the old ones were involved in the new one.
Yeah,
it?
They were, yeah, yeah.
There was like a blend of people though, wasn't there?
There was three cast, and then there was like an additional... So it was like six series, and then there was an additional seventh series, which was like seeing how they are now and seeing how they've grown up.
Yeah, and it wasn't bad. I'm joking. It was okay, I think. I mean, I didn't see it, but it felt good to be doing it. Yeah, I did. Mine was with Kaya, my episode.
Ah, right.
But I didn't do the original scenes. Now, I auditioned for that, and that was... God, that was hell.
Really?
Those auditions were really strange. There were, like, so many people.
It was like an open call, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy, that show. What that... Like, who has come out of that show? Like, we come across so many people that are of kind of a certain age that are doing what we're... They're getting jobs that involve coming to see us, basically. And the amount of people with a link to Skins somehow is... Yes, loads of people. Like, it really was like a kind of start for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't know the first time I met you, though. When was the first time I met you?
I think it was probably a film that Nick did. What did you do? Tolkien with Nick? You did Kill Your Friends
with
Nick.
South by Southwest. It wasn't South by Southwest.
South by Southwest. I came to watch your first film. Directed yourself?
Yeah, and I acted in it, which was a mistake.
And you got Emil Hirsch in it as well.
He was in it as well,
yeah. Which was a big coup for your first film.
What's that called?
It's called Just Jim.
It is so good.
It's fun. I mean, it got...
It's him playing himself again.
Yeah, it's me playing myself, showing my range. And yeah, that was the first... That was tough. I was like 23 when I made that, so I was pretty kind of green. You know, didn't really know what I was doing.
Mm.
And it was interesting. The response to it was interesting, because it was like, it was decent, but I got killed by one critic.
Really?
Absolutely killed. I won't mention his name.
Especially being young, at 23. Vendetta. That's like, it's harsh to go in on someone that's 23, first thing that they're doing, like, way to, like, support someone trying to make their way in that industry.
Yeah, well, let's put him on blast for a second. So he did a video review, which he normally doesn't do.
Uh-huh.
And in that video review, he said that Craig Roberts, with a piece of rope or string that he's been given, has hung himself by making this movie.
Whoa.
Wow.
And I was like, I better start getting those raps together real quick.
Yeah.
And I was like thrown. It threw me for a little bit because I was like, fuck, that's pretty harsh.
I think, just dangerous use of words for anyone.
A lot of people at that age, it's an age where you're kind of like, you're not sure of what you're trying to do. I remember thinking like, I didn't have a clue what I wanted to do at that time. And like if someone was making a video and saying those types of things,
that's gonna
credit to you for like doing what you do and becoming who you are now. Because a lot of people would be like, oh, like really would have been...
It took me a second, and then I listened to a bunch of Eminem songs. And I watched 8 Mile. And then
remembered why you're in it from the start.
And then I...
You only got one opportunity.
Exactly. And then I responded.
Did you?
Through
with
rap.
A video, through rap?
No, I responded in my second film.
Which is called?
Eternal Beauty, sorry, with Sally Hawkins. Yes. Which is about a paranoid schizophrenic. Anyway, this.
I was going to say, how do you respond in that? It's,
So there is an Easter egg in the film.
Yeah.
Love this.
And it's on a newspaper. It's on the front of a newspaper is what I'll say.
Amazing.
I think it's all fun and games. I think reviews, certainly in this world, everyone is a kind of critic now.
Yeah.
With a kind of, you know, with Letterboxd and people and Twitter.
Like Rotten Tomatoes as well. Like it's become like a peer-reviewed system.
Yeah, and I think it's entertaining. I don't buy into this you can't respond thing. I don't understand it. It's like you start the conversation by making the thing.
Yeah.
And then it's like you're removed from the conversation. Everyone else can talk about it apart from you.
No,
that doesn't make any sense to me. So, you know, bit of entertainment, taunt them back. Why not?
That's it. Yeah. Keep making films.
Because you were young when you went into, with Just Jim, have you written and acted in it? Did you direct as well with that?
Yeah, with Just Jim, my first one I did all three.
That's a lot at that age. Like, at what point as you kind of developed in your career have you gone, I want to get into these things?
That was mainly because I could get the money with me in it at the time.
Uh-huh.
And it was cheaper to have me in it because I'm cheap. And it was easier to rehearse with myself.
Yeah.
I didn't have to wait for the actors' availabilities and, you know, talk to the agent and stuff. So it was just much easier that way. But then what I quickly learned that I kind of started writing and directing to have my own voice and make my own stuff. But when I was in it, it was kind of associated with the stuff that I'd done as an actor,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because my acting is very deadpan and kind of...
Deadpan man.
That's what I'm saying. You know, with me in it, I felt like I wasn't finding my own lane. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So and then was Eternal Beauty the first time you...
Yeah, I got some real actors in, and I was like, let's rock and roll.
We got you say real, like, you've really got some, like, big hitters as well.
Yeah, so with that one, we got Sally Hawkins, we got Billy Piper, Penelope Wilton, who's awesome, we got Alice Lowe. And then Morvith Clark is in it as well, who was great as well.
Is there quite a lot of pressure when you're directing people like that, like the people you name there that have, some of them have got like Academy Awards and big nominations and things like that? Did you feel that as quite a big weight on your shoulders? Or because you kind of wrote and you knew everything about it, was that a bit easier?
Yeah. With Sally, it wasn't so hard because I knew her from Submarines. She was a friend.
Yeah.
That kind of set the tone for the rest of the crew, you know, with the crew and the cast. And, you know, we didn't have much time to do it, and we didn't have much money to do it, and we shot on film as well, so we had to be really precise with what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Directing is just acting, pretty much. You need to employ people that are very good at their jobs, look like you have it all together, and then take credit for it at the end of it.
That's great.
Sounds like a great way to be.
Love that.
When you first went into, like, directing, because we've spoken with Sam H. Freeman, with his first feature film, everyone kept saying to him, like, you've got to be ready. You've got to be ready. It's going to be really intense, long days. Was that an experience you had, or was that not something that anyone said to you?
Yeah, to be fair, I was pretty fit when I was doing my first film. I was running loads, mm-hmm. and I felt pretty good, so I kind of didn't feel that. I also love it so much. I love what I do so much that, like, I just don't feel tired doing it. I could write until, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, go to sleep and then for an hour, and then wake back up and do it. I'm obsessed with what I do.
Energizes you.
Yeah, it really does. I'm so lucky that I never feel like it depends how many notes I get.
Yeah. That can get tiring.
That can get tiring. Acting is more tiring.
So when you came into the gym, did we meet you in the gym as actor Craig, writer Craig, director Craig?
Rapper Craig. It was coming back to acting after a long stint of not being in front of the camera.
Met you as Vomit
worst,
Man.
I think the worst shape I've ever been in terms of, like, fitness and just, like, how I felt, because it was post-lockdown.
It was, yeah.
And I didn't think I'd see anybody.
But it was also,
again.
Like, it was about...
You were like, I'm going to sit here and write this mess.
So I was, like, you know, cheese, brie and bacon paninis.
Well, you probably thought you were going to die.
Now I'm feeling the effects of it. I've got to, like, you know, see you guys fucking 4 times a week or whatever. I just realised what had happened is that I directed a film during lockdown called The Phantom of the Open.
Great film, by the way.
A golf film with Mark Rylance. And I was editing it from home, and I just realized how little I moved. Like, my back was playing up, and I just wasn't moving at all.
Yeah.
So, like, when I came out of lockdown and we had to see people again, I was like, I feel like a different person.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't acted in a while because I was so obsessed with writing and directing, and then I came across this project that I've just done for Apple called Still Up, mm-hmm. which is about two insomniacs kind of falling in love.
Playing yourself again.
Yeah, yeah.
No, absolutely.
Literally not leaving the house at all. Like, it was all shot in just one location, for me, at least. And I really loved it. I thought it was really cool. So I kind of, yeah, I was like, oh, God, I think
what you said to me, you came in, we hadn't seen each other for, like...
A long time, yeah.
Since before COVID as well, because we knew each other, like, socially over the years.
Yeah.
And you came in and went, so I haven't been on screen for... 6 years or something, and I'd kind of like to look kind of like I looked then,
yeah,
and not, and I can't remember the adjective you used to describe yourself in that moment, but I don't think it was very kind on yourself.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, it's cool, like, we're fine, you've got some time, because we had like a good 12 weeks as well, so it was...
Well, the problem is, I mean, I'd done some stuff in between that, but the last time I'd properly done something was a TV show called Red Oaks, which was with Amazon, and at that time I was playing a tennis pro. And I was in the best shape of my life.
I've seen bits of that, and you really look great in that. He looks like if you turned up to be taught tennis by someone
at like a country club.
You look like the tennis guy.
Well, that's my embarrassing story. Is that show? Get this job. This job's there, and I've got an audition for it, and I really want it because my dad was a great tennis player, and I was like, oh, cool, that'd be really awesome to, like, you know, do something that he'll watch and stuff like that. And I fortunately get it because I couldn't find anyone else. And then I'm about to do the job, and I'm like, oh, I'd love to. I used to play tennis a little bit. I can do it. I think I could do it. And they're like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, just give me the right training, and yeah, I've got it in my pocket. So I go to New York, and then, like, I'm training for like 2 or 3 months in this, like, really cool tennis. Like, it's on like the 12th floor of a building.
Oh,
and
wow.
You go through this door and it's just like a tennis court.
On a roof, or is it like inside?
Inside.
But you can see everything.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So I'm training there for like 2 or 3 months. To be honest, I didn't have anybody telling me what to do with the diet thing. And I was stupid a bit. I did the whole kind of like low carb keto thing.
And trying to train tennis.
And training at the same time. Yeah. Which was a problem, really.
Like, you don't get many low carb tennis players.
I wouldn't advise that. No. Yeah. And yeah, we, like, 2 or 3 months, and I was talking to my dad. I was like, yeah, I think I'm pretty good. I think I've got this. Yeah. So we turn up on day one. I'm feeling pretty, you know, like, I definitely think I'm at a certain level. And they're like, okay, turn over, and we're doing some, like, forehands and, like, backhands and stuff like that. And so they go, you ready? I was like, yeah, absolutely. Watch this. So ball flies in the air, and I'm, like, hitting the balls, and I'm fucking feeling it. And I'm like, this is great. I've never felt more confident in my life at anything. And, like, I'm serving and shit. I feel like Nadal. They call cut, and I was like, whew. And I looked to everyone, and I was like, that's it. We got it. That is it. And they were like, yeah. We're going to go one more time. I was like, yeah. And as I looked to the left, this guy who looked very much like me, but better in every way, with a tennis racket, like emerging through the bushes, like Terminator. And then the AD came over and whispered to him, was like, listen, you can sit this one out. We're going to get the pro to do it.
You got replaced.
I was like, are we? Yeah, okay. I think that's probably a good idea.
Why did you make me do the two months?
I did the shit stuff, really. It was all like the close of me going like that and all that
stuff.
Which was...
I love those bits of like something like particularly sporty or like lots of exertion. So you've just had probably a day of work of you running towards the camera and going,
just facial expressions.
That's exactly.
Did you then have to record and post all the noises, like the Tennessee noises?
Yeah,
so just standing in a booth
weird.
Going
ADR grunts.
Yeah. That's embarrassing as well.
Whilst we're on the topic and something that we're talking about, I think a lot of people listening to this might not actually know what ADR is. I definitely didn't before.
Oh, are you talking about audio dialogue replacement?
Oh, well, there's a man that knows his stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's that's when basically as an actor you can kind of go into the booth or into the, you know, recording studio and replace your dialogue if it's not audible enough and if you can do a better performance, really.
And do your tennis screams.
The moans. Mm.
The grunts.
Excellent.
There are some, you must have had some great days, though. Of just being in there making weird noises.
Well, the rapping helps doing the ADR. Like the rapping back in the day.
Really? You were setting yourself, you're really building a foundation to go on and succeed, weren't you?
Exactly that. But then I had to beg to like do, because I wanted to play tennis. Yeah. Like I really wanted to. So there's bits of me in there, but it's mainly the pro who was, when he started playing, I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
You see the difference.
we've wasted 3 months, guys.
When you like see someone who is that much better. Oh. Didn't we play paddle tennis once with this guy?
Oh, yeah.
He was like professional.
Tennis
he didn't even bother tying his shoes, and he just had his shoes untied. And I think he moved like 3 times. And we were all legging it around.
Sweating.
And he was just. We were doing exactly what he wanted us to do. Yeah. And he was just like, boop.
What is that, table tennis?
No, it's paddle. No. It's in that
glass.
Oh,
you love it.
Yeah,
love
it's good.
It. It's sort of like squash meets tennis.
Yeah. Is it?
So it's like smaller court. You get like a foam paddle rather than a... looks like a tennis racket, but it's shorter and fatter.
I'm going to look at that.
Yeah. You should do that.
Have you played tennis since?
Can't face it. I have, yeah. I'm rubbish. I lost it very quickly. The thing is, the tennis double, or pro double, whatever they're called, he looks so much like me.
That is weird.
It was rude. I was like, and I just kept thinking, he can probably act as well.
Yeah, why doesn't he just do the job?
Why? What am I doing here? That was the last time I was in the good shape.
Yeah.
So I think that's when I came to you. I was like, I look a bit different.
Yeah, you're like, I just want to look vaguely similar to how I looked on screen last time. And we did a really good job. Like 12 weeks, smashed it, went off to do the job and just took the insomniac role again. And then
never came back.
Didn't come back until, oh crap, we got to do press for it now.
Yeah, true.
Did you finish filming and you were just like, that's me done. No more gym, more acting.
I stopped at Christmas, so that's the problem.
That's prime time for brie, turkey sandwiches, get all that stuff back in your life.
Yeah, but also what I did do, because we didn't work out during the show, because what I wanted to do is we were shooting, the final episode of the show is a flashback to me 5 years ago. So why I tried to work so hard is that I wanted to do the 5 years ago, and then I started eating again.
Yeah.
Properly. I was eating at the beginning, but
not something we advocate.
Yeah, yeah.
Just don't eat. You'll be fine.
No, yeah. I started eating like paninis again. So like when it gets to like the 5 years later and I'm in the house and I haven't moved,
you look
that's
different.
Essentially me in the lockdown. So there is like, and I watched it, there's a good difference to it, difference, which I'm happy with. Mm. But now I just want to get back to just my mental, I think. That's the best thing I get from like coming in to see you guys and doing all that. It's that you just feel, it depends on how heavy you lift or how many weights you do.
Otherwise you just want to go for a nap.
Not so much that you have to have a cold shower.
Yeah, exactly. There is a fine line between working to the point where you can't do anything else, working out to the point we can't do anything else, and I never really feel.
Do you
want to
know one of our big secrets? We use conversation as a way of gauging where we're at with that.
So when
you leave and go, we had a nice chat, we can tell based on like what we talk about, when you're able to talk, when you can't talk. Like that's how we can kind of scale things up and down without having to be like,
that's cool,
testing you out and all this kind of stuff.
If I'm not responding, you know that I'm...
Yeah, you've gone too far. That's someone like you fucked up 10 minutes ago if you've got to that point.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
if you're having a conversation through the bathroom door, that's never good as well.
No. Yeah.
Let's go back to the gym.
Yes.
So in preparation, because people are probably going to be like, you're playing an insomniac, why do you need to exercise? Why do you need to get fitter? Other than you kind of being like, I want to feel closer to where you were when you last were in something... Did you have anything else in mind in terms of like you wanted to portray that person or you wanted to feel a certain way?
When we shot it back with kind of the last episode of the show and with it in the five years ago was the flashback that we shot. And the character was like very confident and, you know, was outside of his house, so just was exercising a lot more.
Mm.
So that was the main reason to do it.
Is that quite a big part of the storyline then, that change in the person?
Actually not at all, really. No, and like nobody knew I did it. I told the director, I did ADR like a couple of days ago. I was like, oh, actually I did that and I'm actually happy. He's like, I didn't know that at all. I was like, did you know? That's worrying. You didn't know.
I didn't know anything. I'm supposed to be like paying attention to all the details of this show.
He's great. He's awesome. But
also when you see someone changing physically and you're present as it happens, you don't notice.
No, you don't.
But when you're detached from it and you maybe have like a few weeks of difference or whatever, which happens to us if we have someone that's come into the gym and they're trying to get bigger or smaller or whatever, and someone's been away for a week and you come back, you're like, oh shit, you can see it.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're there day to day, it's like anything, you're there as it's happening.
Yeah, it was just a small thing for me, really. It was just kind of a small detail that I thought would be...
Does it also help you with the role, though?
It did.
Like having that
it did.
Different
certainly
feeling
the
for the different
yeah,
person.
I feel so good when, like, when I'm exercising.
Mm-hmm.
The costume fitted me differently. Like, I felt, you know, as somebody that was anxious and stayed inside, the T-shirts were, like, kind of clinging to me a little bit more and stuff, and that kind of made me feel self-conscious, and that was helpful for it.
Mm.
Do you find, like, speaking to a lot of people that write, there's the feeling of, I know I feel better in myself if I've got up and moved and done something, but then the nature of doing what you're doing as a writer is you're stationary, you're sucked into your own little world, and it's like that fight of going... I know I'll feel better having done it, but then not doing it because it kind of takes you out of that position. And then that's like, do you feel that that's a challenge for you in terms of going, I want to maintain that feeling and being healthy, but also I'm in the role, I'm in the kind of
in the rhythm of
in
it.
The rhythm
it's the balance
of it, yeah.
though, isn't it? It's the balance. I think you need to, I think I would need to have both. I think that interestingly, I think I can come up with more ideas, and ideas are thrown into the in my head when I exercise more.
Totally.
Yeah. But I can't write if I'm exercising a lot, because like I'll just want to sit there.
Maybe that's something we make up. We make you like a running desk.
Well, I'm just sprinting.
Just going mad, like the Flintstones car.
Sprinting and just legs going at the same underneath. Time.
Yeah, I'd love that.
I want to see this.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's getting the balance.
Yeah. There's definitely something in like when you've got a problem to solve, movement, like going for a walk, it triggers part of your brain, which is inactive when you're sat. There's a guy called Kelly Starrett, who's like a famous physio, basically. I remember listening to him talk one time, and he was like, if you take a phone call and it's something important, you'll stand up and you'll start pacing. And I was like, you do that.
Yeah.
And it's the reason being is that you start, your brain fires up in a different way.
Right.
So you have access to stuff that you don't get if you're just sitting.
Yeah. I think Charlie Kaufman, the writer, says that if you've got an idea, kind of leave it and it'll write itself, and then it'll present itself when it's completely ready.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, like, I think work certainly with you know it makes sense when you guys say that, you know, you do the talking throughout the sessions and stuff. That's what's so helpful, because it's not just personal training, it's kind of like motivational, like, you know, you're talking through many things, and that distraction for me is also very good. Because if I'm like, you know, if I sit at the desk, I know I'm coming in to see you at 10 o'clock and I sit there at 8 o'clock to write and I can't do anything, going there I know for sure, and not thinking about the idea is just as important as like the working
freeze
out.
Up mm.
yeah fixating on something sometimes completely clouds what you're looking at, and actually taking yourself away from it will make that thing that you had in your brain.
It's also just getting out the house.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like getting out the house is so important, and I hate it.
You hate leaving the house?
I hate leaving the house, yeah.
Really?
I just want to stay inside.
Was that even before COVID?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
But when you're outside, do you want to be back inside?
Quickly.
So you don't have a point of like, oh, I'm outside. This is
nice. It depends what I'm doing. It's more so the effort of going, I think. I like just being able to like watch a film or like play computer games, and you know, the idea is the kind of socializing is what I find anxiety inducing.
But I think it's also interesting that like despite that, you can be one or the other or anything in between, but exercise can still kind of be useful. It's not always going to be the thing that makes you feel of less anxious or something. It could be the thing that makes you're able to solve the problem, you're able to come up with an idea.
It definitely helps me feel less anxious, so that's one big thing. And like my anxiety like crashes over me sometimes, it can be beautiful but it can also be very, very dark. So it's like it definitely helps. It's really wonderful. I think what's as important as the training with you guys is literally like talking to you guys, because you guys are very positive.
Yeah.
Like, no, you are. You're very nice people, and you know, and you know, talking to you and just have, you know, and it feeling like motivational in a way.
Mm.
You know, because you're literally there, like, come on, you can achieve this thing. Yeah. Going into your day, it's like it's night and day to like waking up and like just sitting in the dark. Well, I just appreciate, like, you said it when I first came in. I came in, like, 2 weeks ago now. I was like, let's go hard. I want to, you know, every day. And you're like, no, consistency. And I totally appreciate that. Like, it absolutely is that. You just need a good balance of...
I turned down work.
Yeah.
Craig wanted to come in every day.
Yeah,
and I
was
like, there's no point, dude.
But do we want every day Craig for a month?
Yeah.
Or three times a week Craig for 10 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I'm in it for the long term now.
Yeah.
No, and it was also like, I know exactly, I remember the first time we did this, it's like, I train you every day, we're going to have to train at like 30% in order for you to last the week.
Right.
So I might as well train you at 70% for three times in the first week, and then we'll up it a little bit, and then we'll add another session in, and then you'll actually come back going, I'm ready to go, rather than, why the fuck am I here again?
There's nothing worse than trying to drag yourself to a commitment of any kind that you don't want to do. So like, you want to try and make sure that the gym or the environment we have feels like a place that people want to be.
And you have that, for sure. But I also have an addictive personality. So the hardest thing for me is to actually do it the first time. Now I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're
I'm
in.
Like ready to go.
Now I need to, rein you
we
in.
Just, we know that when Christmas comes around,
he's going to be addicted.
That's when you vanish. The addiction flips. He's just going through advent calendars like, no tomorrow.
It does. I mean,
they're tiny chocolates. It's fine. You can eat a whole one in one go.
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah. I'm not saying I've done it, but it's fine.
Yeah.
What's coming up in the pipeline for you then? Because like you're saying, you're getting ready now, there's like press and everything like that. But what else?
This is your first press event for your new Apple TV show.
Yeah, how'd it go?
It was great. Yeah. I think we mentioned it briefly once. Still up.
Yes, me and Antonia Thomas. And yeah, we kind of spent a lot of our time just talking on the phone. So it's been an interesting process because like we never really have any scenes together.
I've always wondered, is someone on the phone when you're doing those scenes, or are you just pretending?
We were on the phone.
And I've noticed with the Apple shows that it's like, because they make a point of showing iPhones and like all the Apple.
Oh,
you're
going to talk
there.
About people having different phones?
No, but it's actually like someone's answering the phone, and then I'm like, is someone are they talking to anybody? Or are they just going like, blah, 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 blah,
they probably will be talking to somebody, but there is also, I don't know if I can say this, but there is also an Apple theory that is the bad guy won't have an iPhone.
Interesting. Because they don't want to associate. Yeah, that's cool.
I don't have an iPhone. Does that make me the bad guy?
Yeah.
Yes, it does. In your own narrative, yeah.
Yeah, in the gym, you are definitely the bad guy. Quite like everyone else.
I don't know if that's true. And
no, but that's an interesting.
I'm going back through all the Apple things I've watched. Yeah.
But you're the good guy. You've got one, so it's fine.
I didn't have an iPhone. No, I didn't. I did. I had an iPhone.
They just tell everybody when on their first day of shooting for Apple, they're like, oh, by the way, the bad guy doesn't have an iPhone. And then everyone's sitting there like, oh, yeah, I'm a good guy.
I think it's like a theory online. I'm not sure if it's actually true, but to be fair to them, they're actually really good about like not having like product placement.
Not overly do it, yeah.
Because otherwise it's so obvious, isn't it?
Yeah,
you're logging into an Apple thing in order to watch the show anyway. So yeah. It's pretty much like...
We're all sold at that point.
Yeah, you've all got one.
Exactly.
Anyway, back to what we were talking about, the things in the pipeline. What else is what else is coming up?
I'm writing a bunch of stuff. I got a film that I'm trying to make that I've written. My biggest fear is that saying, like, you see writers and directors be like, oh, yeah, I'm making this next. It's like, you don't know if you're making it. It's called Dying now. It was called Honey, but I want to give it the most commercial title ever. And it's about, like, a size wide shut for the modern generation, really, like sexual paranoia within relationships and other people being with other people. And we had a cast ready to go, like, last August, and then one of the actors fell out, and then it was gone. So, like,
just one person.
She was a pretty big actor.
If it's like the lead, then it's... I've heard, like, on this point, it's like, isn't there like a Netflix algorithm or a something algorithm where it's like, you basically, all the producers know, they have a name, and they're like, this is how much money you're going to get for that name. So it's like, you can make a film and say, Craig's in it. Craig will have a number.
I actually don't have a number.
Craig's number might be zero, yeah. But Craig will have a number.
Really?
Where it's like, this is how much money you can get because Craig's in the film.
For that person.
For that person,
no,
basically.
It happens all the time, and it's so depressing.
That's
it's
why Brad
really
Pitt's
depressing.
Just in everything.
Well, that's it, yeah. They've got that algorithm. Like, people will
click
on that name.
I'm in that right now. Like, you basically, you have a sales agent, and you go to the sales agent, and you're like, how much will this actress, will I be able to get this movie financed with this actress or this actor? And they'll be like, probably not, or yes. And it's like, it's
wow.
So...
Such a, that's brutal.
It's a harsh business.
And on that note...
Have a nice day, everyone. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Craig, for coming in and chatting to us.
Thanks
it was
for having me,
great.